Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast for October 25th, 2024. I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Bloomberg has a story this morning, which is our lead story about tax loss harvesting that has echoes back to the controversy in futures trading in the late 1970s concerning spread trading. The use of futures spreads to roll tax liabilities forward, leaving traders with little to no taxes to pay, led to the Economic Tax Act of 1981. It was this tax law that formulated the 60 long-term 40% short-term capital gains provision under Section 1256 of the Internal Revenue Code for futures trading. The latest trend in tax loss harvesting by Wall Street leverages, quote, tax-aware long-short, unquote, strategies to optimize tax savings for wealthy investors, just like those old future spreads. Traditional tax loss harvesting involves selling underperforming investments to offset capital gains taxes from other profitable investments, i.e., unload your losers. This strategy, however, has limitations. In a bull market, investors might lack enough losses to offset their gains. To address this, investment firms are using a sophisticated, tax-aware, long-short approach that integrates hedge fund-like strategies into portfolios. Here, managers strategically hold, buy, and short, sell positions across numerous stocks, creating built-in opportunities for tax-deductible losses. For instance, if certain positions lose value, the manager sells them, generating a tax-deductible loss while reinvesting in comparable assets to keep the portfolio balanced. The method is designed for affluent clients with substantial capital gains, often from appreciated stocks or concentrated holdings like company stocks acquired during tech booms. By using these losses to offset gains from, say, company stock sales, clients reduce their tax burden. A common approach is to maintain around 130% of assets as long positions and 30% as short positions, maximizing the potential for tax harvestable losses. The question is, will the government crack down on this now legal technique? It was the abuse of the future spreads sold by tax professionals to non-market clients that caused the crackdown on this tax loophole. I remember hearing a story about a rock band using the technique to offset the income from a very successful year of touring and record sales as one of the abuse cases raised. Maybe we need Taylor Swift to put on a big tax loss harvesting position to get Congress to act. Intercontinental Exchange, or ICE, and Dun & Bradstreet, DNB, announced today that they are launching a comprehensive climate data offering targeting a broad range of both public and private companies globally. This service will provide data on transition risks, including greenhouse gas emissions, scope 1, 2, and 3, as well as physical climate risks. Leveraging ICE's geospatial intelligence and climate models alongside DNB's extensive private company database and supply chain data, the platform aims to deliver one of the widest-reaching climate data solutions on the market. The initiative is designed to meet growing investor and regulatory demands for accessible ESG and climate risk data across various asset classes. By combining DNB's data, tagged with the DUNS number for seamless integration, with ICE's existing client data on properties, companies, and securities, the platform offers a unified source for tracking climate risks. This new solution will be incorporated into ICE Climate, a suite designed to help investors assess the financial impacts of climate-related transition and physical risks. It appears that NYSE Arca is diving into a great big blue ocean of 22-hour-a-day equity trading, according to a press release from Intercontinental Exchange. CFTC Commissioner Kristen N. Johnson will join the Institute of International Finance's special session on AI, Financial Stability, and Digital Trust on October 25, 2024 in Washington, D.C. This session will bring together leaders from government, academia, and global financial institutions to discuss AI's impact on financial markets, focusing on its implications for stability and trust. CFTC Commissioner Christy Goldsmith Romero participated in a Women in Finance roundtable organized by the City UK on October 23, 2024, in Washington, D.C. The event focused on discussions relevant to women in the financial sector. Here are the headlines from in front of FOW's paywall from some recent stories. Standard Charter and TP ICAP unveiled digital assets partnership. NASDAQ reports 10% revenue boost, looks to grow index options. CFTC Commissioner rejects regulation by enforcement in energy markets. Saudi Tadawul hires former Zishi chief Jenkins in senior role, and CME analysis. CME discusses emerging U.S. Treasury futures rivalry. Our most read stories from our previous edition of JLN Options were Trish Fauché's page from Markets Wiki, Trish Fauché to retire from the IFM from the FIA, and how leaders can launch a successful listening tour from Cboe. Subscribe to the free JLN Options newsletter with a link in today's JLN. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a story that I did several months back. Futures industry still grappling with post-trade challenges. In an interview with John Lothian, that's me, of John Lothian News, Joanna Davies, a managing director at Ostra, shed light on the ongoing challenges in the futures industry post-trade processes. The discussion centered around the findings of an Acuity report and the industry's response to issues that flared up in 2020. Davis emphasized that the Acuity report served as a validation of Ostra's understanding of the problems plaguing the industry. Two themes emerged, she noted: the risk introduced by the heavy-handed position transfer process in the ETD market, and the complexity and cost of collateral and margin optimization. The reaction from clients to the report was one of fatigue, according to Davies. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Politico. The headline: Trump transition chief under fire for conflicts. Howard Lutnick is accused of mixing his Trump work with his business, with his personal business interests. Howard Lutnick, the Wall Street CEO heading up Donald Trump's transition operation, is facing accusations from some Trump insiders that he is improperly mixing his business interests with his duties standing up a potential administration. The alarm among Trump loyalists has been compounded by the belief that Lutnick has tried to sideline a host of aides and advisors who worked in the first Trump administration in hopes of instead filling the second administration with new people who could be personally beneficial to him. My comment: it's hard to stop being a salesman if that's what you do best. Here's another story. This one is from YouTube. The headline: Duffy on Lutnick's challenge to CME's Treasury dominance. YouTube. On Bloomberg's The Close, CME Group CEO Terry Duffy expressed concerns about permitting trades on U.S. sovereign debt futures under foreign jurisdiction. The practice has never before been approved in the U.S. and is not allowed by any other major country. He says, "We'd be the only nation on the planet that does not oversee the laws of our own sovereign debt if we allow this to happen," raising concerns over conflict of interest. My comment: Terry Duffy keeping up the drumbeat of a song really meant to distract the competition. Here's another story, this one from The Telegraph. The headline: Putin asked Musk to switch off the internet over Taiwan. Russian president asked the world's richest man not to activate his Starlink satellite over the island as a favor to China. Starlink satellite internet service over. Vladimir Putin asked Elon Musk to avoid activating his Starlink satellite internet service over Taiwan as a favor to Chinese leader Xi Jinping, security officials in the U.S. and Europe believe. A Wall Street Journal report said the richest man in the world has been in regular contact with the Russian leader since late 2022, citing several unnamed current and former officials in the U.S., Europe, and Russia. The report does not say whether Mr. Musk took any action in response to Putin's request. My comment: how do you threaten or bribe the richest man in the world? Maybe you just flatter him with access. Here's another story, this one from the New York Times. The headline: the UN's verdict on climate progress over the past year. There was none. An annual assessment by the world body tracks the gulf between what countries have vowed to do and what they've actually achieved. 1 year after world leaders made a landmark promise to move away from fossil fuels, countries have essentially made no progress in cutting emissions and tackling global warming, according to a United Nations report issued on Thursday. My comment: where is the Ozempic for climate progress? Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top red story Thursday was American creating deep fakes targeting Harris works with Russian intel, documents show, from the Washington Post. Second was Trish Fache to retire from FIA IFM and an FIA announcement. Third was ICE interest rates market hit record trading volumes from ICE. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from Bloomberg. The headline: Wall Street takes tax loss harvesting to next level. Money managers have a clever new tactic to cut taxes for rich clients. What do you get the wealthy client who has everything? The answer, if you're a clever money manager, is a loss-making investment. That's the thinking behind Wall Street's latest innovation, a cunning spin on the famous tax loss harvesting, which has been a controversial feature of wealth management for decades. Tax loss harvesting is the strategy of selling losing investments to offset the tax owed on gains realized elsewhere in a portfolio. It's a powerful tool deployed often in equity holdings, but it has a key limitation. An investor doesn't always have losses to harvest, and that can be especially true in a U.S. stock market that keeps notching new records after tripling over the past decade. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline: NYSE to extend trading to 22 hours a day on Arca Exchange. Exchange expands weekday trading hours from 1:30 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. Trades made during additional hours will be cleared by DTCC. The New York Stock Exchange is extending trading on its ARCA equities venue by 22 hours on weekdays, capitalizing on global demand for U.S. stocks. The largest U.S. stock exchange will offer trading on ARCA, one of its main venues, from 1:30 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time on all weekdays, excluding holidays, it said in a statement Friday. The move, subject to regulatory approval, makes U.S.-listed stocks, ETFs, and closed-end funds available for trading outside the normal 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. window, NYSE said. NYSE said the DTCC will continue to clear all trades in the extended hours. Here's one more story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, top India bourse IPO hinges on approval from regulator, CEO says. NSE is awaiting no objection certificate from SEBI, CEO. SEBI had halted NSE's IPO plans over governance concerns. India's largest stock exchange is awaiting clearance from the securities regulator to proceed with its public listing plans, according to Chief Executive Officer Ashish Kumar Chauhan. The National Stock Exchange of India Limited, whose initial public offering has faced delays since its initial filing in 2016, needs approval from the Securities and Exchange Board of India to reapply, Chauhan said in a Bloomberg television interview on Friday. Quote, we will be able to prepare our papers, unquote, only after getting a no objection certificate from the regulator, he said. Quote, so it will take time. We're grateful for your attentive listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please spread the word about our podcast among your friends. We would greatly appreciate it if you could spare a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform upon which you access this podcast. Your reviews play a crucial role in introducing our content to new listeners. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email yet, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your valued support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.